This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 3rd, 2018, episode 2007. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world!
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, happy Labor Day, everybody. The Hit'em crew is out and about enjoying the holiday, and we hope you have the opportunity to do the same. And while you do so, tuck in your earbuds and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece 2016 version from the Hit'em Audio Vaults.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Get a second cup of coffee and join in. I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I just got my second cup and I need it. It's Monday. Happy Monday. Shut up.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. You know, it seems like we're going from one big show right to another this whole month. Friday, we got done with our 5,000th episode, and I think we took more callers in an hour than we ever have. We probably set a record for that.
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was. Boom, 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 boom. One right after another. That was a lot of fun. Well, Wednesday coming up, we have another big show planned for you, and that's our special Animal Kingdom episode. That's right, Animal Kingdom at Disney World. A bunch of people are going to be joining us from Animal Kingdom, and most of them have a doctor in front of their name, so we definitely will not be the smartest ones in the room. We are going to be talking about...
Is that new?
No, that's normal, but like, it's especially not going to be true on Wednesday. We are going to have a special episode for you talking about gorillas, elephants and bees, sea turtles, translocating birds in the Mariana Islands. I can't even say the words. Butterflies.
Marinara Islands.
Marinara. I was thinking of sauce. Coral restoration, tamarins, and martens. So we have a full show. We're going to have a bunch of guests for you. Most of them are veterinarians and doctors of some sort, zoologists and things. So we're going to be talking about that.
Is this going to be like the Jack Hanna interviews where the people are interviewing them and animals come into their studio? Like, are they going to show up here with a sea turtle or something?
They're shipping them by UPS. You should have them by tomorrow.
That's the problem with this whole...
You should have the elephants and bees showing up at your door by tomorrow.
Okay? Yeah.
I get the sea turtles and the translocating birds.
Come here, elephant bees.
Come into the studio. Tad, can you make the door bigger?
I was just thinking I want a little tamarind to play on my shoulder while we're doing the show.
What's a tamarind, by the way?
It's a little monkey.
Oh, okay. I wasn't
sure. They're so
like
cute.
Sound like a bird. Is a martin a bird?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. See, that's why I need to do this show, because obviously I'm not going to be the smartest one in the room on Wednesday. But it should be fun. And thank you to Disney World for putting this together and all the good folks at Animal Kingdom. This is our second annual Disney show. So Lord knows what they're going to come up with for next year. We'll have to wait and see. But that's coming up on Wednesday, so tune in then. Jennifer, what is on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday Edition! The longest running show in the world, that means it lasts for 30 days, not because it's been around forever, starts to happen this month in October. So we're going to chat with one of the many presenters at this most iconic equine event. Carolyn and Karen from Equitopia are going to be at Quarter Horse Congress, and they're going to tell us what they're going to be talking about, and it might surprise you. And then mid-show, Dr. Chang is going to stop by and demystify the endocrine system. I have no idea what that does. And at the end of the show, the wacky world of Horse Nation sets the tone for our week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time.
Ah!
I want to give, first of all, one of these real quick. To listeners Lorraine Peachy and also Jennifer DeMeglio, it's their birthday today, so happy birthday. And Shauna Koresh of Clicker Training fame, it's her birthday today as well. And I also want to give a special shout out to our friend Chrissy Joy, who is super badass. Get this, Jamie, at 5 months pregnant, she just did a triathlon yesterday.
So. I don't even want you to tell stories like that on the show.
So that's super badass, right?
You,
there.
I just run and you run and run and run. That baby's gonna go fall out. Telling you,
she's hardly even showing yet. I'm not even convinced she's pregnant. But congratulations, Chrissy. It was a girl. It's gonna be a girl. So we're very excited for her. She's a good friend of ours.
Now, I know you expect me to give my Winnie potentially to California Chrome, but I'm going to hold off on him because I just have to take a little personal moment. We lost something really special in my past yesterday. Turner Field, home of the Atlanta Braves, had its last game yesterday. Turner Field is where I have been going.
Are the Braves
since
finally given up?
16 years old. You watch your mouth.
They've been sold. They're going to Alaska.
They're going to Cobb County, which is just in Les Hood. But I was used to going into the Hood to see baseball. I don't know what it's going to be like to not go through Hood to see baseball, the Atlanta Braves. But
now, wasn't that the stadium as we're driving down 75 is right along 75?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. They're not going to demolish it. I think Georgia State is going to buy it. But my brother was at the game. Just to finish, I worked for the Atlanta Braves. Coolest thing ever to get a paycheck that says, you know, it's from the Atlanta Braves. It's like I was a starting pitcher or something. And it was
I
spent all of my 20s there because I worked there and I was just such a super fan and I was in the media. So I just went to games. So anyway, it was very sad. But my brother was at the game and people were stealing stuff off the walls. He's like, I so wish I brought a screwdriver. And he's sending, like, he's like, here's the beginning of the game. And it was like this large A from the Atlanta Braves, you know, on the wall. And he's like, this is inning four. And the A behind the lady is ripped off the wall. People were like, we're taking peas home with us. And of course, I'm like, that is so trashy. What did you get me? I can't believe somebody would loot like that in that stadium. What'd you get, dude?
What did he get you?
Give me some seats. I don't know.
There you go. You can get a seat.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think they probably notice you. Don't they notice people walking out with this stuff?
I don't know, dude. Who knows how far they got with it, but they sure gave it hell, I guess. But anyway, I'm just sad to see it
go. I assume they're getting a new stadium.
Yes, they are getting a new stadium. It's going to be ready by next spring, and they've been working on it for several years. And
outside of town, easier to get to, or
easier for the people in the northwest part of Atlanta, but probably easier in general to park and to take travel. There's too many stadium politics to go into, but it was kind of the mayor who helped build the stadium for the Braves is still in jail. So there's a lot of that goes around with that stadium and the drama was associated with it. So, excuse me, I still have a cold, by the way.
Was it in the slums of Atlanta, the current stadium?
I mean, I don't want to say slums, but let me just tell you that more than once, my brother and I bought fake tickets. Like, here, scalp tickets, and then you go inside the stadium, and they go to scan them, and they're like, oh, these have already been scanned. So they passed them back out. They kept doing that. That happened. My car was convertible, had a knife put through the top of it, ripped it apart, and then stole everything out of it.
Are you sure you weren't in Philadelphia?
I know. It is. It's downtown Atlanta, man. It is the stuff. Anyway, I didn't mean to talk about it so long, but I'm just, you know, Turner Field. Good and bad memories. Once I finally started getting media parking lot, I was much happier. It's like, oh, I get to park right here in this giant walled off area with razor wire on the top. I'm in.
All right. Now, I assume you want to talk about the other thing.
Now I want to talk about two things. We're going to talk a little bit. Do you want to just do the California Chrome one first since I teased it?
Yeah, I mean, it is the elephant in the room.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Okay. So, California, you know, I really think that there's rivalries throughout horse racing, and we kind of have a California Chrome Dortmund rivalry, except for Dortmund would be the most amazing horse ever if he didn't have California Chrome. It seems like there's always that one horse. Secretariat and Sham, Affirmed and Aladar. You've got, here we go, California Chrome and Dortmund. And this is in the Awesome Again Stakes on Saturday at Santa Anita.
Dortmund a little bit fidgety. Racing! California Chrome and Dortmund begin on terms with each other. California Chrome now taking the lead from Dortmund, and they kick away by four lengths to win the space on the inside of Soifet, and Hard Ace is a couple of lengths last of all. California Chrome is the leader. Dortmund being cast in a more positive role today sticks with him, and they're just a neck apart. A generous pace swinging by the 7/8 pole on the turnout of the stretch. Win the space is back six lengths away, third on the inside of Soifet. Hard Ace is bringing up the rear. California Chrome from Dortmund at the three-quarters pole. Seven lengths to win the space. Soifet together and Hard Aces four lengths last. California Chrome, Dortmund. 1-2 under the back stretch. A half length separates them, and they are a long way clear of their rivals. It's almost 10 lengths now to win the space, and Soifet and Hard Aces bringing up the rear. California Chrome being kept to his task by Dortmund. Dortmund with blinkers on for the first time since his debut win almost 2 years ago. Now at the half-mile pole, California Chrome has put a length and a quarter on him. California Chrome getting away from Dortmund, running into the far turn. 12 lengths to win the space. Soifet has had enough already, and Hard Aces continues to watch the whole thing unfold at the 5/16 pole, and California Chrome scurries clear by 2.5 lengths. Dortmund in second position. Win the space, 6 lengths back third at the quarter pole, and it's California Chrome. Espinosa with a good hold of him at the top of the lane. Dortmund being scrubbed along in second. Win the space three lengths away. They come to the eighth pole. It's California Chrome still being nursed along. He's three lengths to Dortmund and two more lengths to win the space. But the world's top ranked racehorse is marching inexorably toward the Breeders' Cup. California Chrome, on the cusp of a perfect season, is awesome again in the Awesome Again. Dortmund ran second. Win the space was...
Woo! In a canter. As again, the Victor
was
Espinosa,
he even carrying a whip? I didn't even see a whip.
He didn't throw it down one time, nor did he in the last race either. He's kind of been hand riding him a little bit. Well, he hasn't had to. He's so far in front.
Well, he jogged across the finish line.
He really did.
It could have been a quarter horse lope.
You know, we've got Victor Espinosa is just the, in my opinion, the best out of a starting gate. He just gets the horse right where he wants to be. He did it with American Pharoah, too. And the fact that he's back on Chrome and just going for it is so cool.
Is there any question about Chrome winning Horse of the Year?
There's nothing ever guaranteed, I would say. But it's we've still got a lot of racing to do.
Well,
it's
we
only
got the
October.
Breeders' Cup.
We've got the Breeders' Cup coming up next week. And the Breeders' Cup is something like $6 million. And then probably Chrome's last race is what they're pointing to is the Pegasus World
that's the
Cup.
$10 million thing or whatever. $12 million?
$12 million.
Is that New York?
Race.
Where is it? Or Miami?
I don't know. I think it's
up.
In Miami.
I think
that's
it's
a
Miami.
Great question. Yeah. So the Pegasus World Cup is coming up. If for some reason Chrome won both of those races, he'd be at like $25 million in earnings. In earnings. That doesn't happen. That's insane money. $25 million in earnings. Just awesome.
Ugh. Okay, so it's scheduled for January 28th, right around Super Bowl time, at Gulfstream Park.
That is the Super Bowl. Screw the Super Bowl. I'm watching Texas World Cup.
$12 million at Gulfstream. So yes, it is down there.
Yeah, the best horses in the world will be there, obviously. And so I think they had to buy their way in, right? A long time.
I think it was what $1 million each or something. It wasn't cheap. Yeah, it wasn't like $100,000. I don't see it in the article here, but yeah,
I'd be scared if I was anybody else other than California Chrome.
Yeah, I'd be a little nervous right now. American Pharoah, but they're not bringing him out of retirement. So,
no, wouldn't that be in a good
Did
race?
Those two ever race together?
No, they were different years.
That's right. So that would be a match race, wouldn't it? If both in their prime.
Yeah, I mean, they run so down. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think when American Pharoah was running, that was the bad year that California Chrome had, his kind of down year. It would have been interesting to see if they'd ever got together.
I mean, California Chrome right now is in his heyday. He's in his prime.
And it that just goes to show you.
I was just going to say the same thing. I was just going to say the same thing. I always thought that, and I understand why they do it, and it's traditional, all that crap. But I always thought that like the Triple Crown should be 5-year-olds, 4 or 5-year-olds.
Yeah, you and a lot of other people think that.
Yeah, but it'll never happen. But that was always what I thought.
I mean, the times get faster and the horses get stronger. It's just weird how tradition is whatever.
And maybe it would force them to run them a little longer before they retire them to stud at the age of 3.5.
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of times people want to retire their horse to stud. They just have no other option. Mm. But I was listening to the race yesterday, and they were talking about if California Chrome had won the Triple Crown, no way he'd still be running.
Yeah, they would have retired him. But they could have retired him last year. He'd won enough money to made a name, you know.
I know, and I told you guys that a little bird insider in the horse industry told me that the only reason that this horse must be running is because he's sterile, because he's Cigar. And that is not confirmed, and that is just somebody speculating. Like, there can be no other reason why they are continuing.
We are here to bring you all the rumors in the racing world.
This is rumors and gossip.
That's right.
101 right here, people.
We are telling you everything we know nothing about. Right here.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Somebody else said it. I didn't say it. I was thinking it.
Makes sense, though.
Yeah. I was thinking it.
Although, you got to think about how much money he's won this year. He isn't doing bad. So, by keeping him racing, he's won a ton of money this year.
Yeah, but he's not winning it for TaylorMade, which is where he's going to go. He's winning it for his owners. So
yeah, I would have loved to read that contract between TaylorMade and his owners. That must have been an interesting stipulations in that contract.
Yeah, because they're like, give us the horse for stud. And they're like, nah.
Nah, we're just going to race him for another couple of years. Yeah. And oh, by the way, we're going to take the $20 million we win.
By the way, that him coming out of this race, Art Sherman, the trainer, said it's like he didn't even run. You know, usually they're pretty tired. They said he was bouncing around a stall this morning. How well, do you manage a horse like that? Whew.
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. There's one more race, too, right?
Yes. Do you want to do that now or after the guest?
Well, we can do that after the guest. Why don't we do that? And that was the Zenyatta Stakes. So we can talk a little bit about who was racing in that again?
Beholder and Stellar Wind. And you should know Beholder, but you seem to always not remember who Beholder is. And I will give you a rundown and you'll be like, oh yeah, duh.
Okay, good. That's what I count on you to keep me informed. Well, you know what's coming up or has started? I'm not sure which. It always happens this month in October, and that's Quarter Horse Congress. We actually went one time. We did go to Quarter Horse Congress one time when we lived in Lexington. And
me too.
Yeah, it took a couple days, and I still didn't get through the whole thing. You know what amazed me about Quarter Horse Congress the most was the
all
parking.
All the quarter horses?
No, it was not. It wasn't, actually. It was all of the horse trailers in the parking area. Oh, my God. Quarter horse people have big horse trailers. That's what
and
I took away.
Horse trailers you could buy.
Yes. Yes.
They're shopping there.
There was a ton of horse trailers there that I could never, ever afford. Well, there's a couple of people there. Carolyn and Karen are with Equitopia, and they are there doing some clinics. And we're going to talk to them a little bit about why they're there. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, now we're going to have to talk to you separate. Carolyn and Karen is hard to say together, by the way. So let's start with Carolyn. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Equitopia. What is Equitopia?
Okay, so Equitopia is a nonprofit founded about a year ago. And our goal is really mostly education backed by science to help all owners, breeders, and riders to be better stewards of their horses and work to develop them gymnastically so that they can meet their goals without influencing or harming the welfare of their horses. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, that is. Well, you got that down.
it's actually inspired by my own experiences in horse ownership. On the journey that I went through to find the right professional to meet my own personal goals of how I wanted to have my relationship with my horses.
Got it.
So now I'm sharing.
Very good. Now, Karen, why are you at Quarter Horse Congress? What are you doing talks about?
Well, I'm going to talk about, along with Dr. Joanna Robson, who is a vet, and we're going to talk about the importance of engaging the horse's back and what the biomechanics are that are involved. And we've done some studies. There's a lot of science out there now about the importance of this, not just that it makes a horse more capable of carrying a rider and makes him a better athlete, but it actually, if you ride them hollow, is actually causing physical damage. One of the big things we're seeing these days is kissing spine, because horses are hollowing their back, the vertebrae are rubbing together, and then it becomes quite painful. And some horses we're seeing are being euthanized because of this, and some at a very young age. And this is so preventable. So we're out there trying to get the word out. It's not just making your horse a better athlete, but it is keeping them healthier, longer, and more rideable, and saving their lives sometimes.
And you're doing that with gymnastic exercises?
Yes. Yes.
In the saddle and out, or in the saddle only?
Yes, there are some things you can do in hand. It's a way of teaching your horse to accept the contact and then start to push up through the back. So we call it engaging the top line or engaging the back, where the horse actually pushes up through the abdominal muscles and gets his hind legs underneath him so he can push up and carry the rider. Because if he doesn't do that, he simply hollows the back like a hammock. And the rider sitting in this dip, instead of being lifted up like a ball, is lifting the rider up. This makes the horse it's easier for him to carry the rider, and he can use his muscles instead of just relying on tendons and ligaments in his skeletal structure.
So when you say engaging the top line, I mean, to me, when you say engaging the top line, it makes me think you're just bending the neck around. So are you engaging the top line kind of through the hind end and asking them to go that
absolutely.
Way?
Oh, absolutely. It has nothing to do with bending the neck.
Okay.
It's getting the
core engagement. Engaging
okay.
the core.
Gotcha.
Yes. And what that does is it makes the horse much more supple throughout the whole body. When a horse can't bend right or left very well, it's not in the neck, as everybody thinks. It's in the back, because if the back is dropped, it shoves all the vertebrae together, and then it can't bend from side to side. Try it yourself.
Okay.
If you were to arch your back and then try to bend. So this is getting the back to lift, and it opens up all those vertebrae, and that's what helps prevent the kissing spine.
And let me again ask, why are you guys at Congress? Like, you are like swimming in a sea of people that just bend their horses around and around and around and don't really always care about engagement. Is this something that you're like, you know, we need to bring this to this audience? I am a firm believer in what you're talking about, for sure.
So I'll answer that question, because what happened is, we have released a video. It's called The Biomechanics of Engagement. It's about 18 minutes long. It's had a lot of views, and actually Nancy Sue Ryan was one of the people who shared the video, along with about 130,000 others. And so it got the attention of HBHA. So they called us and said, will you bring your lecture to Congress? And then Nancy Sue Ryan has agreed to do a live demonstration following our lecture, which is on the 22nd of October at 4 p.m., by the way. And that's how we got the invitation.
Oh, that's so cool. I feel like that's a step in the right direction for the quarter horse world. You know, unfortunately, I've seen so many places like that. You know, there's one trainer out there that just bend them around, you know, and they yank the face, the nose all the way to their, you know, foot constantly. And it just, that can't be healthy. What is your comment on somebody who does that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I can comment on that, because I started out as a jumper rider, and I was told to do the same thing. And this was to supple the horse up. Well, and then I met a trainer that showed me how to engage the horse's back. And I argued very heatedly that, no, I had to bend the horse's neck. And he said, absolutely not. It's in the back. You need to get it to lift. And by God, he was right. I lost that argument hands down, and it's changed my life about riding forever. Because it's not in the neck. A horse can always bend its neck. It can reach around and get a fly. But with us on him, he needs to supple his spine, because you want him to bend in the middle of the body, not just the neck.
So when you do, obviously the video is going viral, and you probably have some people that you know, like us, believe in what you're talking about, and others who, like you were, resist. What are the main mm-hmm. reasons that they resist? What do they give as the reason why this is not the way to do it?
Well, I think a lot of it is just what they've been taught, just like me as a jumper rider, that nobody taught me anything different. That's why we're so adamant about getting out there and letting people know, because it's such a simple fix. It takes time. Maybe that's part of the problem. People want things to happen instantly. But to develop the horse into an athlete, you don't do that overnight. It's just like a gymnast. They don't train for a month and now they can do everything you want. So it requires patience and a true understanding of what it takes to get the horse to understand what you're doing, and then the time for him to build up the muscles to do it.
Okay, now's the magic time. The question we've all been wanting. Yeah. How do we do it? Do we have to buy a book or something?
Pardon?
No, so was that last question? I couldn't hear you.
It said, how do we do it?
How do we do it? Oh, okay. Or do we need to go buy a book or something? is it hey, tune in
no.
after the break?
Our training method isn't new. The old horse masters all knew this. And one thing that's become very popular is my husband, who I learned this from. He travels worldwide, and we have a video site that people are following, and they are changing their horses. And they are able to do it, a lot of them, without very much help, because once you get the horse in a comfortable position, he doesn't resist. You don't have this adversarial relationship, because you're not asking the horse to do something he can't do. You're actually asking him in a way that makes him comfortable. So it's not hard. It's using the biomechanics of the horse to help him engage the top line until he develops the muscle to be able to hold it up himself.
Okay, so what do we...
So those videos are there. It's archerride.com, and they are free, and there's lots of them there, so they're available for people to watch. And I just, again, want to put a caveat on that, you know, sometimes online training, you know, you have to make sure your horse is physically able to do this work. You have to have an understanding, and if you have any doubts at all, the videos are used as a guideline to help you find the right people to help you with your horse. We're showing okay. horses that are going correctly, and if you're working with a trainer... and your horse doesn't look like that, then it's find somebody else or call somebody or find a different way. If your horse isn't working easily and readily and looks like they're engaged per the horses in the video, that's the hope.
Okay, great. What is the website again?
It's art2ride.com for the training. It's
yes.
art and the number 2ride.com.
So A-R-T. Your yeah. lovely accent, I'm trying to get
uh-huh.
it. A-R-T. Okay, good.
I'll help you out. It's A-R-T.
Talk American.
Yep.
Okay. Then the number 2.
Don't ever.
And then ride.com.
All right, art2ride.com. We're going to put a link to that on our Facebook page so people can go and check it out. And ladies, I wish you guys the best of luck at Congress. That's going to be really exciting that you're bringing this into kind of a new untapped market.
We'll see.
And then don't forget EquitopiaCenter.com. EquitopiaCenter.com, please, on your website. We're a nonprofit and we do rely on donations as well as self-funding. We have other videos on EquitopiaCenter.com that center around saddle fitting, farrier work, body work, nutrition, and other aspects of horse ownership that go hand in hand with the training, because all the training in the world is great, but if you have an ill-fitting saddle, then you have problems as well. So we promote a whole horse, whole rider approach, you know, which we also have rider programs. Unbalanced rider can cause issues, so riders have to also have their own regimen going to, you know, better enable their horse to do all this work that we're talking about. So just want to clarify.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we're going to post both those links because I think that is very important. Great. And the mission you guys have is a good one. So thank you guys both very much, Caroline and Karen. Thank you. You're right. That is hard to say.
Thank
Caroline
you.
And Karen. Yeah. Y'all have a great,
thank you.
Great day and have fun at Congress.
Okay.
Thank
you,
you very
too.
Much.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Bye.
See, it wasn't just me having trouble saying it.
Yeah, no, I know it's Caroline and Karen.
Do you That's think they're going to need bodyguards? By the way, should they?
No, I think what they're going to need is somebody to keep them from shopping. That place is like shopping.
It is
mecca. Well, second to Rolex.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of shopping there. It takes you 2 days just to shop at that place. It takes you a whole day to just to see all the horse trailers. I've never seen so many people at an event either as that place. It's just crazy. Now, when we went and we stayed at a really nice hotel, they told us, do not leave anything in your cars because it will be broken into. So,
really?
Yes. Remember that, Jennifer? And this was not a, it was not a crappy hotel. It was a nice hotel. And they were like, yeah, we get broken into all the time during Congress. So do not leave anything in your cars.
People locally who are a little bit less than honest really know that this happens, and they know that they shop in Mecca, and
it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, $10,000 saddles, and people put them in their pickup truck or in their horse trailer, and don't think twice about it.
Speaking of which, did you hear what happened to Kim Kardashian last night?
I am sorry that I am not up to date on my Kim Kardashian news.
I can fill you in on the Kim Kardashian news. Speaking of robbery, she was in her hotel in Paris, or you know wherever she was staying, and five guys dressed up as policemen broke into her room, tied her up, threw her in the bathroom, and stole $8 million worth of jewelry.
Oh, my gosh.
Her bodyguard was out with her sister at a club, so was protecting the sister. And I think she'll be having two or three bodyguards now.
Why would anybody have $8 million worth of jewelry with them?
They said the jewelry box was worth $2 million. So figure that
out. Good God.
Yeah. Yep. Don't you all travel with $8 million worth of jewelry? What's wrong with you, Jennifer?
Poor thing, though. I mean, you're missing the point. Like, this girl was like, you know what, you did it.
So
she probably let him in the door.
Yep. And more importantly, the people at the desk let him in the door. They tied him up, the guard at the front door, they tied him up and threw him in a storage room. They didn't hurt anybody, fortunately, but yeah. Kanye was doing a concert in New York at the time. I know all this? I don't know. Kanye was in a concert in New York at the time and doing in the middle of a song when they interrupted him, and he said, "I got to go," bye, and left and flew to Paris. So yeah. So there's my
That's so sad. That's terrifying.
There's my news for the day here. Yeah, they think it's the same gang that has done numerous jewelry robberies over there. It's very sophisticated. They obviously know how to get their hands on police uniforms and had scouted this one out pretty well. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. And apparently, they don't hurt people, but they're very efficient in and out. They're very, very efficient. There was another race.
Now you got me all freaked out about this.
Sorry. Wait, let me give you good. Before you get to the race, then I'll unfreak you. You're going to get to see Chris Hemsworth on a horse again.
My life will be complete again.
Yes, Chris Hemsworth and Michael Shannon are going to be back in the saddle for a Jerry Bruckheimer movie called Horse Soldiers. It's about the horse soldiers that were in Afghanistan, the special forces. And this was post 9/11, soon after 9/11. This is kind of special to us because Jennifer's brother was a Green Beret and was a horse soldier in Afghanistan.
Oh my gosh, cool.
So they're doing this movie. It's been a long time in coming. Apparently, it's been on the back burner for a while. They were trying to get somebody to sign on to do it. But Chris Hemsworth has signed on, and Michael Shannon has signed on, and they're both going to be in this movie and expected to be produced and out in late 2017 or 2018. So there, does that make you feel better? Chris on a horse?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, it does. Okay. I'm better.
In a uniform?
Stop. Stop. You're going to get me distracted again. Okay. Behold.
Got the audience back now.
Yeah. No, now we're all Googling that. Beholder is a mare that has won $5 million. She has 15 stakes victories. She has won 10 grade one stakes victories. She has the buyer speed figure of 114. Her biggest stakes wins have been like the Breeders' Cup Distaff, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile before that, the Breeders' Cup Fillies. That's three. If you're counting three Breeders' Cup races, she's won. Beholder, remember her? Mm-hmm. Now
I remember. Yes.
Pacific Classic, she just won. Well, she has an arch rival named Stellar Wind. This young ne'er-do-well Stellar Wind. Chestnut with a crooked blaze trying to come up and steal Beholder's thunder. She's won six races up to Beholder's 17. She's only won like 1.2 million only versus 5 million for Beholder. She's only won 5, where Beholders won 15 stakes wins, 2 grade 1 victories as opposed to Beholders 10. And they've kind of been, they're being rematched, but they've been against each other twice, and one has won one and one has won the other. So Beholders won one, Stellar Winds won one. This is like a total rivalry, and clearly I am a huge Beholder fan. So let's see what happened.
Racing. Beholder and Tara's Tango win the start together from Stellar Wind, who's just livened up in those first few strides by Espinosa. He wants to be part of the early action too. Off the road is Close Handy on the inside of Vale Dory, and they vacate the home stretch covered by only 2 lengths. Beholder with her head in front of the 7/8 pole over Tara's Tango, off the road right on the back of the champion mare, and Stellar Wind's out in the 3 path. At the rear is Vale Dory, 3/4 of a mile from home, and Beholder in front by 1/2 length to Tara's Tango, and Stellar Wind moving up out 3 deep. 2.5 lengths to Vale Dory, sitting back off the speed, off the road, drifting back 5th and last. They're at the 5/8 pole, and Beholder in search of her 4th consecutive victory in the Zenyatta Stakes, on top 3/4 of a length from Stellar Wind, with Tara's Tango just losing a little bit of ground on the top pair, coming past the half mile pole. Vale Dory 4th, and off the road, the long shot stablemate to Beholder, back 3 lengths last of all. 3/8 from home. Beholder by 1/2 length. Stellar Wind is going to test her in the run around the far turn. Moves up within a head. It's Beholder, Stellar Wind, as a burgeoning rivalry intensifies, reaching the top of the Santa Anita stretch, and Stellar Wind is on the outside of Beholder. They're together by 5 lengths to Vale Dory, then Tara's Tango. Beholder and Stellar Wind at the 3/16 pole are locked in a fierce struggle by 6 lengths to Vale Dory. Past the 8th pole, and it's Stellar Wind on the outside, and Beholder, an exquisite piece of racing theatre. Stellar Wind on the outside, just in front. Beholder tries to come back gallantly, but Stellar Wind is just in front. A red letter day for Espinosa. Stellar Wind has beaten Beholder a neck. They were 7 clear of Vale Dory.
Da, da, da. Jamie, are you there?
I was screaming at my TV. Sorry, I had my mic off because I was like yelling during the race. I can't stand it. I was screaming. I was like, come on, go, go, go. My dog started
by a neck, and those two were so far out in front of everybody else, like 20 lengths.
I know. It's insane. Oh my gosh. Sorry, my mic was off. That race was so exciting. My blood, but I think mine gave goosebumps.
Beholder lost.
So Beholder lost by a neck to Stellar Wind, and what a race. I mean, it was a grueling match, and they just crushed the rest of the field. I don't know why anybody else even tries. Everybody else is so far back.
A Breeders' Cup race or not?
Yeah, this is a win and you're in. Okay. Yeah, all of them were. And Victor Espinosa, by the way, this is the same place, and they're both $300,000 races, and Victor won both of them. The California Chrome won too.
Yeah, he made some money that day.
He did pretty well. He's getting some nice horses to ride too. But yeah, he had a good day yesterday.
At 10%, that's about $60,000. He did all right in 2 races.
That's two races. Yeah, I think you actually won another one too. It just
not a bad day. $100,000 days. Those aren't bad, huh?
I'm just very sad because I want a Beholder to win. This little young redhead. Who does she think she is?
I don't know, but she definitely outran Beholder. Beholder was trying too at the end there. Tried to make a comeback and just could not do it.
It was a really big race. Well, Beholder doesn't usually get out in the front. She's kind of, and you could see the jockey of Beholder, Gary Stevens, looking back, like, who's coming up here? Somebody's supposed to be up here, you know, with me, and nobody did. So she kind of was up front, and that's not the way she runs typically. So I didn't think that would fare well. I'm talking way too much about this horse. I'm sorry. I get excited. I love this horse. She's so amazing.
Not as a Zenyatta, though. Just lost it.
I love the girls, though. I just love these powerful women that beat boys and Rachel and Zenyatta and Beholder and Stellar Wind, even though I'm mad at you right now.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. Dr. Chang is going to be coming up here in a minute. We're going to be, by the way, Jennifer, and you should also refresh your show notes. They're going to be up here in a minute talking about, how do you say that?
It's the endocrine system and immune health.
Thank you very much. And you've been studying hard for a test coming up, and you even knew what that was. I was impressed.
Yeah, but I haven't studied enough because you asked me, what is the endocrine system? And I'm like, I think it's the system that makes stuff. So we'll find out if I was right.
Yeah, that was very technical and detailed.
Yeah, it's a system of I made 300 flashcards yesterday, and I have like 1,000 more to make. So I'm too old for this crap.
For those
who don't know, this is the test for Monty Roberts. It's like a vet degree is what you're getting.
Yeah,
you're
going to be way beyond A level pony clubbers when you're done with this.
Oh, they got nothing on me. Bring it on, Jennifer.
You haven't passed yet, so let's hold off on that. We're going to play. I got to play for you a couple of voicemails that came in after the voicemails on Friday. And as you all know, I played 20 minutes of voicemails at the end of the show on Friday after all those calls. If you listen to the recorded version, you heard all of those nice people that called in, all of our listeners and sponsors and everybody. Well, some of them came in too late and I wasn't able to put them in Friday's show, but I didn't want to miss them. So I put them before the song today. And the song today is going to be Can't Change Horses by Dan Roberts. But first, you're going to hear some of the voicemails we didn't get to on Friday, and we're coming back with Dr. Chang in just a minute.
Hey, I wanted to congratulate y'all on your 5,000th episode. This is Suzanne Ashley Therrien from Lawrenceville, Georgia. I am the founder of the Western Dressage of Georgia, and I listened to y'all. You had my daughter, April Hardiman, on. She's one of your auditors, and Sean Hardiman, I want to congratulate you all. You great listening.
Y'all,
we have a ton of families that listen. April was on our show.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Lawrenceville, Georgia, baby.
Congratulations to Horses in the Morning for making it to 5,000 episodes. In the podcast world, that's a huge accomplishment. Great job, Jen, Glenn, Jamie, and all the other hosts from Terry Emmett up in upstate New York. Happy day.
Good morning, Glenn. This is Eric Johnson from Smooth Stride Jeans. I'm calling in hopes of being your furthest congratulatory call today. It's now about 6 p.m. Friday evening in India. I'm calling from the city of Pune in the state of Maharashtra.
Yeah, you win.
Equals me 8,767 miles from you. Anyway, congratulations on your 5,000th show. You all do a great job, and Desiree and I are daily listeners. Here's to 5,000 more. Take care.
Bye. Hey,
he's in California.
Hi, Glenn. It's Tom Murphy from horselovers.com. Just calling in to congratulate you on your 5,000th episode. You and Coach Jen do a great job, and we're happy to be part of your program. Let's hear it for another 5,000. Good luck.
Congratulations, Horses in the Morning. This is Equinista L.A. Pomeroy, and I just want to say kudos on reaching a stylish 5,000 episodes on this day. Keep it up and keep horsing around.
You better look down that road before you get on. Turn around, take one last look behind. Hey, pick up a little dirt, run it through your hands, then carve your favorite memories in your mind. 'Cause all you've ever dreamed of was riding the rodeo. Before you learn to hold on, you gotta learn to let go. That your time in the saddle ain't as rough as life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Thank you.
just soon be gone. But take time, study your back trail. 'Cause what you've learned today may help tomorrow, but leaving's the only way to tell. Well, you can't put a price tag on the fun and rodeo, but you don't get a free ride, you'll pay as you go. You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream. Hey, you gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there.
That's Can't Change Horses with Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. He has a lot of terrific music over there. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair as usual today. And I would like to say things are getting back to normal here after our big celebration, but we got another big show coming up that we're planning on Wednesday. Don't forget to tune in to that. That'll be a lot of fun. I got to tell you, I had a little panic attack on Thursday before we did Friday's show. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. And that's partly because Jennifer hosts the Trail Ride episode with the NATRC with Alice on Thursday, and which means I was producing. Well, nothing went right. The call-in system that we used to take callers, same one we used on Friday to take, 50 callers. We had 10 lines open on Friday, and they were full the entire hour. Right. So it wouldn't work. It was broken. So I was panicking about that. We could not get it to work. I was panicking about that. Jennifer's trying to do the show, trying to figure out how to do my job and call people live on Skype, which she's never done before on the show. And in the middle of all that, Jennifer's looking out the window, and my pony is beating the crap out of her horse.
Naughty little bugger.
Oh, he had Nigel running. Now, Nigel's twice his size, literally. He had Nigel running. He was just, something gets in the scooter, and he just gets mean. And he was just beating the crap out of him, running around. They were both covered in sweat. So in the middle of trying to help Jennifer figure things out while she's on the air, I had to go outside and separate those two, which is not safe, by the way. It's not exactly the place you want to be when Scooter is in a mood. And he was not having anything of me getting in between him and Nigel. And poor Nigel was just looking to get out. So finally, I did get a halter on Nigel and got him out the gate without Scooter ducking out and separated the two, all while the show is going wrong on Thursday, all while I'm thinking about, well, this can't happen tomorrow because we're expecting like 100 callers. So all of that's happening during the show on Thursday. It was one of the most stressful shows for me. Jennifer and Alice got through it just fine. But it was stressful for me because I was thinking about the next day and also trying to get killed, getting those two separated. So, and now Nigel has come up lame thanks to my pony. I don't know what gets into him.
What? I'm looking at the Omega Alpha catalog right now, and we need to either give him some chill ultra, or maybe we can do the premare, which is for witchy mares.
Are you sure they don't make special Hackney pony downers? Because are you sure?
I'm not sure. Let's get Dr. Cheng on the line. Okay. Dr. Cheng, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Jamie.
I think his little naughty pony needs premare, even if it's a gelding.
He does. He gets in a mood. Like once a month, Dr. Cheng, he just gets mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to give him something to calm him down a lot more than that premare.
Knock on the head.
But the thing is, you never know when it's going to happen, right? That's the problem with him is it's not on a cycle. It's not once a month on Thursday, the second Thursday of the month. It's just when he gets in this mood, and we had to separate him. Now he's in timeout, Dr. Cheng, because he cannot be trusted with other horses.
Well, you know, your poor pony is probably thinking of days gone by when he had all his parts. You know that, right?
Well, and I think for once in his life, he gets to be the alpha bear, because the last horse we had him out with wasn't putting up with that crap. Now he's the alpha mare, and this poor horse, Jennifer's new horse, just will not beat the crap out of him. He's double his size, and he will not beat the crap out of him.
Dr. Chang, what would happen if you gave a gelding mare premare? Because premare is to regulate witchy mares. So what would happen? Would it just go away, or would it like find an ovary?
It would probably help, because even though, you know, the horse is gelded, right? I mean, it's not a mare. He still has the testosterone surges, right? Because testosterone actually is produced by the adrenals also. Right, so you do get some of that, and one of the things I do know with people who have gelded horses, sometimes they say, "Well, my horse is gelded, but he has no oomph, no energy, no pick up and go." Right, so usually, what they ask is, "Do you guys have anything that would give him a little bit more oomph?" And usually, if you supplement him with a little bit of Testos Boost, which is our testosterone increasing product, what actually happens is that you optimize his testosterone levels with whatever organ systems he has in there that actually produces testosterone, like the adrenals. But in a case like this,
That the Testos Boost on one of the geldings that's here at my house worked miracles. Miracles. He just is a super nappy, lazy gun, and she events him, and man, it just gave him that extra oomph. That's a good description, like that extra oomph that he needed to just get up and go. It was really, really good to see. It works. Your stuff works, yeah. Dr. Chang. Weird.
This is the perfect segue into what we're going to talk about today, which is endocrine health and immune. Because one of the things that I know this in the racehorse circles also, but way back in the day, you could have given him a shot of testosterone, but sometimes the problem with testosterone, you give your gelded horse a shot of testosterone, you might end up with a monster. And that's because you get a huge bolus of testosterone coming down the pipes. So everything goes haywire, because one of the things that testosterone does affect is mood and attitude. Right, because there are receptors in the brain that will make that happen. But what you could do with this is that if you have a gelded horse and all you need is a little bit of extra energy, a little bit of extra oomph, you know, you give him some Testos Boost in his feet and he's good to go. And let's say, God forbid, you have something, you ended up with a monster. Well, first of all, it's very unlikely to happen, but let's say it does happen. All you need to do is to back off, and within a few days, you're back to your sweet little horse that you had, you know? But whereas if you give him a shot of testosterone as an injectable, the problem with it is that shot will last for months, right? And so you have a horse that's a mean horse for months if that has, and because you get a bolus dose, chances of it happening increases with a bolus dose, because it's usually a bolus dose is not a small amount, you know.
Wow. So the endocrine system, we were going to talk a little bit about what is the definition. I was trying to tell Glenn, and I'm like, I think it's the system that makes stuff.
Yeah, it was very detailed, Dr. Chang.
The problem with the description of the endocrine system, 10 minutes is not going to cover it. I'll tell you right off the get-go. Okay. The endocrine system basically covers hormonal health, any type of hormone. So it controls things like testosterone. It controls the hormones that control diabetes, blood sugar levels. It controls the reproductive system.
I've got the quick definition. The endocrine system, Glenn, is the collection of glands that produce hormones that regulate metabolism, growth and development, tissue function, sexual function, reproduction, sleep, mood, amongst other things. You don't have 10 minutes.
You need a few hours. I mean, people in the university classes, this is a whole semester, or it could be a whole year, and all you do is cover a few of these things, not everything.
Wow. The pituitary gland,
how detailed
pancreas,
it can become.
Ovaries, testes, thyroid gland, parathyroid, hypothalamus, adrenal glands. Yeah. You're right. Okay, so what else were we going to talk about it then?
Well, one of the things is that I guess we have to go piecemeal on this. And usually when people are thinking about the endocrine system, they're thinking about testosterone levels, they're thinking of red blood cell levels, they're thinking about things like Cushing's, right? They're thinking of diabetes or in this case, equine metabolic syndrome, all those things. Right, but what all those things in common, I say, is that if you have a horse that exhibits any of these things, one of the first things you should do is to help clean out the liver. And the reason for that is because a lot of those toxins, like if you have extra, for example, if you have a horse that's stressed out, right, that's the adrenals kicking in. A lot of that excess hormones, like the cortisol that's being produced, is broken down by the liver. If you have a horse that's stressed out all the time, you have high levels of these hormones. So that means your liver is probably under stress too. So my philosophy is that if you help clean out the liver, the liver then can handle a lot more of these extra hormones. And I just use stress as an example, right? Even things like metabolic syndrome. Right. One of the things that people don't know is that the liver produces a lot of extra sugar that floats around in the body. And again, if you help clean out the liver, you will help control some of that extra production of sugars. Right. So the liver is very important. So that's step number one. And again, you have to address symptoms as they arise. For example, if you have a horse that doesn't have the oomph, doesn't have to get up and go because of testosterone insufficiency, you got to give him a little bit of extra help. Now, I know with competition, if you give a horse a shot of testosterone, you'll raise red flags from here till kingdom come. The nice thing about our Testos Boost product, if you give him some of that, it will optimize it by increasing, you will see some increase in the testosterone level, but it increases it to, again, the upper side of normal. You don't get a horse where the testosterone levels are through the roof, right? Mm-hmm. Not with our product. If anybody's expecting that, it is not going to happen. What they will see is an increase of testosterone to the upper side of normal. Now, that's a good thing, because if you have it on the upper side of normal on an ongoing basis, because the testosterone that's produced is actually produced from whatever organ is producing the testosterone. So in the case of a gelding, it'll come from the adrenals, right? And what happens then is that because your testosterone levels are slightly higher, it does a lot to lift the mood of the horse. It gives him a little bit of more oomph, right? You have to, some of the other things, hormonal health we talk about, is where we would use our product Premier, where you have a horse that's going through its normal cycles. And again, what happens is that you have excess production of things like estrogens, right? So the nice thing about Premier is that it'll help control production. It'll help control the effect of all these extra estrogens, right? And that's, again, things Premier has this, the herbs in there have compounds with what I call phytoestrogens. So if your body is producing too much estrogens, the phytoestrogens then compete with the estrogens for receptor sites. And if it competes with the estrogens for receptor sites, the phytoestrogens are a lot less active than the estrogens. So if they can compete, you get a lower estrogenic effect, thereby helping dampen the symptoms of what I call the witchy mirrors. Right. So there's so many other things. I mean, hormonal health is also tied to immune health, right? Because again, you look at stress. If your horse is under stress, it'll go like that, like crazy. But then if your horse is under stress, the immune system craps out. So I shouldn't say crap out, but gets dampened. So your horse can be exposed to more, not exposed, but it's more susceptible to your common cold and so on. That's why people in competition have to look after the immune health of their horse. And something as simple as giving them something that boosts the immune system, like our Immune Plus product, will do wonders for that. Sorry, I just go on and on and on. So this is what I mean. It's more than a 10-minute conversation.
I follow along everything you say, and it's so interesting, and it's so laid out in a way for people to understand without a degree or a medicine background. It's really interesting. So we have got to do, I think we've run out of time, but what I want to do is we've got a webinar for more of this. It's support for endocrine and immune health. Registration is easy. You just call the main office toll free at 1-800-651-3172 and you ask for Joanne Carr, or you can email Joanne at jcarr@omegaalpha.ca to reserve your space, get the classroom address. We can post this on our website as well. And you can watch any archived webinars as well. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You'll find all the topics there. And this one is going to be just more of what Dr. Cheng has just barely scratched the surface on for today. You can go just to see those. The Equine webinars are under the educational section of OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And as always, it's such a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Cheng. And I know we joke at first, but you know, your big brain is very impressive. You forgot more than most of us know.
Oh, I tell you, the Alzheimer's is kicking in there.
Well, I've got some premier for that. Or let's see. We'll get you something.
Ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba.
Oh, anyway. Okay. See? You already knew.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Dr.
Thank
Chang.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cheng. And thanks for being such
Take
a
care.
Great sponsor.
All right.
Talk
My
to
pleasure.
You soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay.
So I got to get some premier for my pony.
Yeah, pretty much is what I got. Did definitely does not need testos boost.
No, I was thinking that. I was thinking that's the last thing he needs.
But I'm telling you, that testos boost for Joey worked wonders.
Huh.
I wish his owner could afford to keep him on it all the time, but we've got a couple bottles and she's just going to kind of like load him heading up to her next horse trial. So now he just got acupuncture and that's helped and he's on the testos boost. It's a new horse. Can't even believe it.
And Jennifer, you're going out right after the show today for Nigel's poor sore feet from being chased around and tormented by my witchy pony. You're going out and getting what?
Antiflam.
That's right. So we're going to put him on antiflam to see.
It's like Buteless Butte.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to see if that'll help his poor sore feet. Thanks to my pony. All right. Done.
Get yourself
about,
some
I've
premier,
I've done bitching
too.
About my pony now.
Get the premier. If we get more premier, we'll need less antiflam.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, we have Leslie now coming up, and of course she is here from Horse Nation. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Are you home? Are you at the airport? Where are you?
I'm in San Francisco now.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, you're up early. Sorry about that.
Just for you guys.
This is really early for Leslie. People, you don't understand. She usually doesn't get up till 10 Eastern time, let alone 7.
9:55. Yeah, that's when my alarm goes off on Mondays.
So what are you doing in San Francisco? Can we ask?
Yeah, I was in Salt Lake City for a wedding over the weekend. I think I talked to you guys from the airport.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing a sort of quick trip in San Francisco to visit my sister. And then I'm on my way to, straight from San Francisco, it's going to be a long trip, to the Netherlands to cover Buchalo, the 3-star, and for a vending nation.
Your life sucks.
Yeah,
dude.
I just
wow,
hate
it's
you
so hard.
Right now.
It's exhausting, darling.
Just hate you right now. Jeez, girl. All right. Well, the world traveler is kind enough to join us, though, and get up early. And to be honest, I'm really shocked about that second part. But we do appreciate it. So, 6 reasons to never let us make scented candles. Tell us this story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She hadn't seen it before.
Okay, so you know Yankee Candle, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So they set
They're
up,
$25 they candles.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, they have this thing now where you can design your own candle. Like you, like legitimately buy your own candle. You put, you upload your own photo to it, put your own name on it. And then you pick what scent you want. I mean, it's sort of one of their.
So we've taken a $25 candle and made it $35.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. But I can say whatever you want.
Oh.
And so of course, so I think actually Absorbing got the ball rolling on this. They were kind of, they posted some photos of, they were like, oh, what would, you know, if equestrians, when equestrians create scented candles, what candles would you create? And they're like, hay and blanket, saddle, horse pasture. And, but you know, Horse Nation.
Yeah, those are just boring.
Always got to take it one step too far.
Oh my God, this is so funny.
So Maria over there, she gets on there and starts coming up with some, you know, less romantic, let's say, you know, warm and fuzzy scents like morning thrush, guaranteed to wake you up. Urine soaked shavings, digested hay breeze, which is the cutest way I've ever heard someone describe refer to
fart. Gas.
Equine gas. Yeah.
Digested hay breeze. No, like people have suggested on all these comments, like these really nice things. No, but you guys are like moldy alfalfa. You know that smell.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh my God. And then I clicked on the Eventing Nation one. Oh yeah. My God.
So I was like, oh yeah, I can do something with this.
Oh, you wrote this one. Oh, snap. Yeah. You get Leslie Wiley's crazy brain involved. What did you come up
with? So these are just the ones that Adventures would make?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, yeah, again, this is like the Yankee candle and that you've seen in the jar, and then you guys have put your own label, or I guess Yankee can put your own label on it, and you can write what the scent is. So just... You're getting
way,
a picture
though,
of like
whoever did the Photoshop on these did a really good job.
No, it's great. You can do it too. You can get on there and you just upload a photo, write in your tagline, and it pops up just for you.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty great. Yes, one Starbox Vom, what you ate for breakfast revisited. This was the burning checkbook. I think that's one a familiar scent. For all of us.
Might as well just light the thing on fire.
I was taking this photo to upload for this label. And so I'd just written my entry check for Virginia Horse Trials. And so I have the photo is like my entry with the check. And then I'm holding a lighter in front of it. And my husband.
$351?
Is that without stabling?
That's with stabling.
Ugh.
Oh my God, that's super nice. Like out here, I'm at like $460 now.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
How do any of you afford to show?
We live in poverty, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what kind of question is that? You know how I live.
Yeah. Like one weekend of the month, we get to like have the best fun ever at our event, and then the rest of the month we
try to catch up.
Ramen noodles,
yeah,
ramen noodles for
ramen
you.
Ramen noodles. Yep.
I told you, Leslie, that we've decided. We learned my husband, the jerk math major nerd, crunched all the numbers, and he found out that you know what I make on my farm. Like, thank God he has a job. I make $6 a day. That's a little lesson than boarding. He's like, you make $6 a day. I'm like, well, I feed the horses three times a day at least. So that's $2 every time I go out there and feed them. So there.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not in the negative. That seems.
Yeah, you know. Right? That's what I said. Thank you. That's a horse trick positivity right there. I'm like, I'm not losing money. What's your problem?
And you're paying for your horses. So, I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I'm going to add a couple horse trials a year and start losing money and see how he feels.
Yeah.
I did love the Yankee Candle filthy water jump up your nose.
Up your nose. Yeah.
Is that photo of you falling in a water jump that's on the Yankee Candle?
Oh, yeah. Label? Yeah. And I think there is water actually going up my nose in that photo.
Seriously? That's you?
Yeah. That's me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Even makes this
better. Girl.
Were you wearing your bathing suit at the time?
Yeah, should have been.
That's as they say, the air vest becomes a flotation device, you know, half the time. That is gross. This
and post. Hey, you know what? You know what's funny about that photo? You know, I'm drenched. But listen to this. This the photo is back in the day when you could still get back on your horse and finish the course if you fell off, right?
Right.
I got back on the course. I'm on my horse. I'm soaking wet. I'm going prelim, and I finished my course.
Whoa.
No way.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. I don't know how it's like. I remember it being quite slippery, but I did it.
Okay. I have to bring this one up. The last one on the list. Ode to Barn Fridge. There is one place you never want to look as a horse husband, and that's in the barn fridge. You never want to look in that because the medicines that are toxic to humans are mixed in with the leftover carrots and tofu dinners that Jamie has put in there. And they've been all been in there for at least 6 years. Yeah. The expiration dates are long gone.
Mm-hmm. I've got one better for you because I started reading the comments and like people put on some really beautiful ones like slow cooked bran mash, you know, yeah, whatever. The real one down here, and you'll love it, is like sweet feed peppermint breath. No, wrong. Ixamal drawing salve. You're getting closer. She's cleaning smell. That needs to be done. Katya.
Yeah.
Smegma. You know, I'm obsessed with sheath cleaning, Glenn. Yes, here's your smegma candle and just pin a picture of a sheath. Do me a favor.
I like this one. Smells like helmet.
Summertime helmet.
Summertime helmet. I maybe need to do a part two of this, I think.
That's funny. How about car girl smell? That's a unique one too. Yeah.
Or like when you do go through the drive-thru and then you go to the barn and you eat your food in the car.
Leave the leftover onions
ride.
In the car for 2 days.
Then you go to, like, you left your car in the sun, right?
Okay.
And then you go open your door, you're like, oh.
Jamie probably can't appreciate this because she's a vegetarian. But what kind of frickin' onions do they put on stuff at fast food places?
I don't know. It's toxic.
They're toxic. They definitely are toxic because you leave them in for an hour after. That smell does not come out of your car for a month. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Dead onion smell is the worst. Ugh.
Dead onion smell. All right, Leslie. Next is five new horse show classes we can all get behind.
Oh, yeah. Maria wrote this one, too. She's been on
Maria's
fire
on a roll
this week. Some classes that we're probably never going to see, but we think they'd get a lot of action, and it'd probably be pretty exciting. So first up, we've got, a lot of shows have, like, green is grass divisions, but... What about green on green?
Chances are eventually he'll go up, you come down.
Go ahead, sorry.
You'll understand this song.
green on green. Green horse. You know what they say. Green horse plus green rider equals
black and blue.
Black and blue. Yeah. So they say, why not combine them? Everyone's guaranteed either a blue ribbon or a black eye.
That's right.
Let's see. We got, what else we got here?
My God. What is this picture? What is this? Horse husband equitation? No.
This is human at halter.
Human at halter.
Just like the equine equivalent, we're looking for well-muscled humans with straight legs and tiny feet. And somehow we just located a perfect photo to illustrate this. And
this hurts. This hurts.
I have
hurts
no words for it.
There's no words. The guy in the middle's, and I don't. You know what? It's not even. It's gross.
It's
much like watching a quarter horse halter class with those straight legs and tiny feet. It's just it's unwatchable.
Mm-hmm. But here's one: horse husband equitation. So you put your horse, and I think it has to be an unhorsey husband. Maybe you could be an unhorsey wife too. Unhorsey spouse equitation. I'm going to revise this. Coaching. So you throw your unhorsey significant other up on the horse and see what happens. Coaching from the rail is not allowed. Who's ever's wife, husband, or whoever's on the ground partner shrieks first is eliminated. Last man still in the saddle wins.
Perfect. So, yeah. I'd be the first out.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be long gone.
I'd be gone. She'd Chad like, would last right, longer than me. Chad would be in there till about the third jump, or you know, yeah. He'd be
everybody dead. Enter the ring. Okay, Glenn, you're eliminated. I like this
enter the ring worst. At the rail. I'd be like in the middle doing figure eights.
The worst turnout award. The dirtier, the better. I would be more than happy to win that one. I'm always The horse rolls no matter what after I bathe it.
No matter what. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you get bonus points, creativity, you know, like, you know what, you can do some crazy things with manes and tails full of burrs and, that why not just take it in the opposite direction?
Where did you find this picture of this dude riding the horse for the horse husband equitation ad?
Google's a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Google's Creative Commons thing. License.
Yes.
Looks like somebody posted it to Flickr. Lots of fun stuff on Flickr.
Flickr, yeah, you can find all the good stuff. I loved, before we run out of time, I want to get to this. 16 thoughts every equestrian has immediately regretted. Was that Kristen that did that one?
That was Kristen, yeah.
Yeah. I thought so. 16 thoughts every equestrian has immediately regretted. And the first one is, this course test pattern is going so well. Never think that in the middle of a test because you're guaranteed to jinx yourself.
Yep. Yep.
How about this one? Nah, I don't need lunch today.
I love this. I should not have said that.
He's not going so well today. Let's video the next round.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's never good.
This could be the alternate title of this could be like 16 thoughts that are guaranteed to jinx.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we'll go to the auction, but we're just looking.
Yeah, that's Jamie's curse. That's Jamie's curse. I can carry all of this tack in one trip. Yeah, that's...
I don't need to check my girth. I don't need to. Oh, that's funny. I definitely could jump. I don't need to check my girth. Do you know what I've even, as an instructor, you used to say, okay, just do it one more time.
No.
Kiss of death. I never say one more time because sometimes it means that they will do it one more time because they're going to fall off.
Yeah.
So I always say, okay, again, please. Okay, you're done. Try not to say one more time. And I'll go, one more time. No. Again. Do it again. Try not to jinx myself.
I like this for all the fox hunters out there. We can definitely jump that.
Yeah. We can jump that.
We can jump that and half the field's off.
Yep.
I love this, and this is going to be coming up soon. I bet I can do that fancy trace clip I saw on Pinterest.
Yes.
I can do that. Abby, my student, was just telling me, she's like, I saw this great clip, so I'm going to try it this year on Joey, and it's going to go like here, and I was like, you're on drugs. Like, that will never work. You are not that guy.
Yeah, but you know what? If you screw it up, you just give him a full clip. I mean, there is a saving grace there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's happened to me many, many times. It's just going to be a trace clip. And then by the end, nope.
Yeah, there's no hair left. Yeah.
There's no hair left.
Because you only screw up one part, and then you have to do the same thing on the other side. And then it starts to look ridiculous.
It's like a Seinfeld episode where Jerry shaves his chest. And he just finally goes full on shave because he couldn't make it even on one side to the other. So then he went down. And then he had a bald.
You had to put that in our minds before we left.
It's hilarious. How have you not seen that episode? My life is Seinfeld. I compare it all the time.
All right. So what are you doing in San Francisco today?
I'm not sure. I don't know. My sister has got a little baby, so it'll probably be something adorable.
Oh, there you go.
Little two-year-old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's no telling.
Are you flying home before you go anywhere else when you leave San Francisco?
Yes, I fly home tonight, and I actually have like a 5-hour layover in Knoxville, and I have it perfectly timed to where my mom's going to come pick me up at the airport. I have the farrier coming out, and so I'm going to go during my layover to hold my horses for the farrier, and then she's going to bring me back to the airport.
And then you're heading to Buccalo?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, my point of leaving San Francisco is do yourself a favor. And there is a sourdough bread place where that you can buy like an entire, just a carry-on box of sourdough bread. What? It's ridiculous. And you can freeze it.
I need that.
Yeah. Go get that before you leave. Like everybody buys it like right before you leave the airport.
Okay. And okay.
That will make you feel like a lead weight for the trip to Buccalo.
Yeah.
Just take it home and freeze it. That's all I was asking if you're going home first.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do yourself a favor.
Don't eat the whole thing on the way home. That's probably not good.
You can't possibly. It's like an entire box of bread, like baguettes and the circular loaves and the regular loaves.
Your husband will love you. You can leave him something to let him know that you still are alive and you still love him.
Aw, you guys.
Here's
you guys.
Bread, something to eat while I'm gone for the next week.
Here's bread. Save me some of your dead meat.
Now, Buccalo. Tell us about Buccalo. We don't know much about that.
Yeah, it's a 3-star. We've got a good.
Is that in France, by the way?
It's in the Netherlands. Yeah, it's
okay,
about.
Good.
Yeah, it's sort of on the on.
Doesn't
the,
Buccalo sound like something it should be in France?
It does.
Like baguette.
Yeah.
That's Pope.
Yeah.
So you're in the Netherlands.
Uh-huh. In the Netherlands, it's a huge party event. They cross-country day. I mean,
no kidding.
I know last
beautiful
year I had
women
a hard time.
Are beautiful people in the Netherlands party. There's a big surprise. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, I had a hard time even getting up to the cross-country jumps to take photos last year because there's so many people on course. The course is just lined with bars and little, you know, food truck cafes, and everyone's out there in their little jaunty caps and their tweed, and it is, and they start early in the morning. I mean, cross country starts at what, 10, 11. And then there's a big party at night, and by the end of the party, it is just a hot mess. Hot.
And you were forced to go to this one, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just made you go to this one.
Yeah, against my will.
Yeah, I thought. Are you actually going to get any writing done, or should we just count on there being no reports from Buccalo?
Yeah, you know, actually last year I was really disappointed in myself because I somehow seemed to miss all the party action. I could hear it happening. I could see out the press tent, like they have the biggest disco ball I've ever seen in my life, like just the lights sparkling, but I never actually made it over to the party. And this year I am determined to not be
antisocial.
Yeah.
You're going to be social this year.
That's right.
Because it's your duty.
It's my duty.
To represent Eventing Nation.
That's right.
Eventing Nation, Horse Nation, if you want to keep track of Leslie's progress across the world, literally, you're flying halfway across the world between both trips, and spending way too much time in airplanes. Do they spring for first class on those European trips?
Are you familiar
Jenny's
with,
cheap, isn't
media?
She? No. She's cheap. Jeez.
We Airbnb, or if we know some, it's funny a lot, you know, like we're like, does anyone know anybody in, you know, this horse show, wherever we're covering the horse show, and somebody will be like, my grandmother lives there, and they'll be like, can we sleep on their couch?
Are you in the basement?
cheap
grandma's operation. Basement.
Yeah.
with the clothes that's hung up on the little racks.
Yeah.
That's where you'll find Leslie. Well, Leslie, have a great trip. We're looking forward to hearing all about it.
Thanks, and have a great week.
Not that she'll remember any of it, but, you know, there's that. We'll see you, Leslie. Have fun
Leslie.
In San Francisco.
Bye.
She's got the life, doesn't she?
Yeah. Bless her husband's heart. He's just so patient. She has 5 hours, and she's going to the barn to hold her horse.
Horses. Yep. That shows you a true horse girl there.
Yep.
Right there. Yeah. It's good she doesn't have kids. They'd never see her.
Watch out, girl.
She'd never be home. Well, I know that you've been fighting disease in your house there, so I'll let you get back to your son, who has also been fighting disease. You know, this is just a precursor of things to come. You send him off for, what, 2 hours a week now to pre-daycare, preschool?
Yeah, pre-K. He goes to pre-K 3 hours a day, 2 times a week.
And you're already sick.
Tuesday morning, he goes and he comes home with a cold.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I get it.
There you go.
Super.
Hey,
super.
I did want to mention on the air before we go that Beaker, Jennifer's previous horse, who you all heard a lot about, unfortunately, the girl that bought Beaker had some life-changing circumstances and has to sell him. So if you're in the Florida, Georgia area and you want a little bit older, perfect trail horse that will not cause any trouble, then Beaker is for sale and he's relatively cheap. So get a hold of Jennifer or I and we'll give you the contact information. He's now in Sarasota, Florida, and he's looking for a good forever home. Somebody that
should not be hard sell.
No, I mean Beaker is like the perfect trail horse. Well, you know. So
I rode him.
Yeah, you rode him. I mean, he just is great. So if you're in anywhere in the Southeast and you're looking for one of those, get a hold of Jennifer and I, and we'll put you in contact with this girl. We just want him to find a really nice. We'd take him back, except we can't have another horse here. So we're at our limit with two. Although I'm about ready to trade the little one in. So.
Maybe we could teach Beaker to drive.
Yeah, I know. Scooter's not going anywhere as much as I'd like to ship him out some days. We did have a good session with him yesterday. We took him out to do trick training with him, and he's just so damn smart, which is why he gets into so much trouble. So maybe he'll become a trick pony. We'll take him on the road. We'll send him out with Mary Kitzmiller to do tricks with the Mustangs.
Sounds good.
They'll keep them straight.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow with the jumping episode. Emily will be here with the jumping episode, and then we'll be back on Wednesday with Animal Kingdom Day. They have about 10 guests lined up, so it's going to be a busy day on Wednesday for Animal Kingdom Day. Join us for the next week here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. This is episode number 5001 for the Horse Radio Network.
All right. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld.
Oh, you said that too fast.
Oh, spay.
There you go.
Neuter and geld. Sorry. My timing was just way off.